Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
All right, Jesus spake unto them again by parables and said, now I want you to understand this real quick. Jesus talked to them in parables, not so they could actually understand what he was saying, so they would think they understood what he was saying. And you say, I don't know about that. You'll find in Scripture that the Bible backs that up. They would think that they had the story, but then Jesus would take the disciples away from the crowd and explain to them what it actually meant. I said that to say this. The religious world thinks they understand what the Bible's about, but you only really understand what it's about through relationship. Even though we may preach it good and make it sound good, you'll never understand this without relationship with Jesus. So that's the point of the parable. But Jesus answered and spake unto them parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son, sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not that they couldn't, they wouldn't. It's not a matter of can you, it's a matter of will you. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying to them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took the servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden are not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad. You better be glad that says that, because I know what you're thinking. You're the good in that. Both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw that there was a man which had not a wedding garment. He said to them, friend, how camest thou in hither and not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then saith the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for this group that's gathered in this room today in your name, because you said if we gather in your name, you're there in the midst. We thank you for your presence that's already been felt in this room. God, we thank you for all that you're about to do. Thank you for the bread of life. God, as we break this bread, help us, Lord, to hear it. God, help us not only hear it, but understand it. God, not only understand it, but Lord, help us apply it to our life, because we know that your word is applicable and it'll bless us, Lord, if we put it in practice. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said amen. You can be seated and take a rest for a few minutes. I want to start out with a quote from Dr. Joe Dispenza. And Shane, if you'll put that up there for me. This is not a religious book at all. This is actually a psychology book. But, man, this statement applies so much to what I want to preach to you today. How can we move into a dimension that is greater than anything this world has seen if we are listening to a world who is blinded to the truth that the dimension even exists? Let me read that again. Let me read it again so we really get it. How can we move into a dimension that is greater than anything this world has seen if we are listening to a world who is blinded to the truth that the dimension even exists? I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm tired of religion status quo. I'm tired of church as normal. I don't come in here just to punch in, to punch out, but this is my life. Living for Jesus has to be more than just attending a Sunday service and then walking out and forgetting what manner of man you are. There's got to be more to this, and we've got to be designed for more than what we have realized up to this point. Do you agree? Say amen. But there must be other dimensions. I read about them in the Bible, and I don't know how you feel. I get a little jealous sometimes when I read about people that could see into different dimensions, but we're satisfied with seeing what we see here in the natural right now. There must be other dimensions because there is a God that exists that we can't see with the natural eye. Amen. There must be more for the church than what we have realized so far. The key is, how do we get there? I tell you this, we can't take our cues from the world because the world is contrary to this dimension. How can I take any cues in my life from the world when the world doesn't even realize or acknowledge that this realm even exists? Let me be clear. How can I allow the world to tell me how to do anything when they are blinded to the fact that there is a God that has a plan, a very perfect plan for my life? Are you with me? He said, how can we move into a dimension that is greater than anything this world has seen if they're blinded to the fact that that dimension doesn't exist at all? I made up my mind. I'm praying for signs and wonders. I've tiptoed around it for my whole ministry because I didn't want to offend and didn't want to bother. The truth is, we've been designed to show this world who Jesus is. We read a scripture, Kevin, Wednesday night. He said, these works shall you do. If you believe, you'll do these works. And not only these works, he said, you'll do greater. Contrary to what the blinded world see, Jesus still heals. Jesus still delivers. Jesus can still take a person who is addicted and break that addiction. Jesus can still take someone who is chained and break every chain. I don't have to see anybody else but Jesus to get that done. Are you with me? You got to be with me. The reason you have to be with me is this is a body ministry. And we function one in another. Every joint supplies to the body. If we're out of place, it presents a problem. But we are a body ministry. They used to sing a song in the old church. It went like this: me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's a body ministry. And we are in this together. Because if you're part of the body and I'm part of the body, I don't know why Jesus did it, but he never sent anybody else out by themselves. He sent them out in twos. So you just didn't get to go, you and Jesus, having your own thing going. He always sent somebody with them. Why? Because we need each other. I know this is secular, but I got to tell you, we all need somebody. We all need somebody to lean on time and time again. Can you say amen? That sounded pretty good, didn't it? He begins to call them in to the marriage. He calls them in because he has something for them. There is a blessing to give. The wedding was free. The food was ready. They didn't have to pay a dime to get there. They just had to show up. It was already prepared. It was already ready. Some of us are still trying to work into our salvation. We're trying to work to thinking that God's going to give us something if we work for it. He's already given it to you. It's already been paid for. The cross was the stamp. The resurrection was the proof. It's already done. All I got to do is come into the relationship. Who wants to be the good guy today? Nobody? I need a volunteer. You stand up here. All right, look here. No, you got to stand up here where everybody can see you. You get to be the bad guy. Now he's standing up there. Why would you not think? No, I'm just kidding. Don't get up there. Because you're the bad guy. Sit down, bad guy. I want to give you a very basic illustration, but man, this is so profound if we get it, if we can get it. He's inviting us to the wedding. He's inviting us in. The problem is they would not come. The reason they would not come is they were following something else. Whatever that may be, you got to figure out what it is and get rid of it. See, maybe I believe some weird stuff, but I believe this world is set up in a way to program us against the things of God. I believe every advertisement, everything that is put out there in a way to pull us away to this, from this relationship. Are you with me? I believe that there is a prince of the power of the air. I believe that we are that we're in a war, and that war is over the souls of our souls. Are you with me? The problem is, in Christianity, as long as we're going to make it to heaven, we're satisfied. I know as a kid, I used to sit in churches and they sang about heaven a lot. Anybody with me? Or did you even pay attention? They would sing songs like, Mama needs no marker to mark where she lays. Anybody ever heard that song? Raise your hand. Y'all didn't go to my kind of church, did you? It was saying that Mama's going to make it. She's in the grave, and she's going to make it because Jesus knows where. And they say, they'd sing songs like, I want us to be together in heaven. I want to down the. Man, we're old. Either that or we got good memories. Nobody else has seen. It was yes, I'll see you in the. Okay, we're getting a little more current now. I heard a few more voices. I want us to walk the last mile together. I want us to be together in heaven. And you may have a fancy car but all that stuff. It was a lot about heaven. And so I thought the goal of the church was to get to heaven. I thought that was it. Listen, heaven is a byproduct of the relationship that I have been designed to experience here on earth. It's not just about me getting to heaven. It's about me bringing heaven to earth. He said, when you pray, you say, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I'm not waiting to get there. I want to bring it from there to here. And some of you are looking at me like, I'm okay, but just getting there. Let's just get out of here. Some people are praying for the rapture to take place right now. God, just get us out of here. If you're not praying now, if it don't go your way in November, you'll be praying then. Yeah, I know you. You're going to stay up late that night. Don't go to bed early, because just when you think it's over, it ain't over. And you're basing all your joy and all your peace of what happens in November. I'm here to tell you, I got the King that sits on the throne of the whole world. And it doesn't matter what happens in November. What happened in Calvary 2,000 years ago sealed my deal. And I've been made to sit in heavenly places right now. When did the church get so political? I'll leave that alone. That's for another sermon. When we started losing our power and we thought we could gain it back through legislation. You're never going to gain power back through legislation. You're going to gain it back through relationship. Yeah. Thought I'd throw that out there. Problem is, he's saying come. He's saying don't. Been there? This is the way this thing started out for me. And maybe some of y'all can testify to this. I sat in a pew. And something was calling me to an altar. And something else was telling me to not go. Can I get a witness? And I argued within myself. And I went to service after service after service. And it worked that way on me. Man, you need to go pray. You need to go pray. You need to go pray. And something else said, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. And man, that fight went on with me. I would hold on to the pew, try to, I know what y'all do, I see you. God starts dealing with your heart, you start looking for babies. Finding somebody to talk to. Listen, if you're a Christian in this room and we're giving an altar call, shut up.
They're not coming to you because they like you. They're coming to you because they need a distraction. And you're ever like, oh. Stop. Let the Lord deal with their heart. Amen. I know shut up ain't the right term. Hold your peace. We start looking, wow, we need a distraction. And I tried to find distractions. But man, he just kept calling. And he kept calling. Can somebody attest to it? And then there came that point when I said, man, I'm going to surrender and see what happens. Because here's what you can do. You can ignore it and wonder what would have happened if you did, or you can surrender and see what happens. Amen. Come on. So here's the deal. He's calling you to come. He's saying, come. Now, this guy shows up, and he doesn't have a wedding garment. We've been to quite a few weddings lately. A lot of weddings going on, right? When you went over there, where'd you go to get your suit? What's that place called? You don't even know. What's it called? Where'd he go? It's called Gene Ann's. And for the people listening to our podcast, Gene Ann's is right up in uptown back there. We'll give her address, help her out. What did they do to you when you went over there?
They sized me up.
They did what?
Sized me up.
They sized you up like. What'd they pull out on you?
A tape measure.
Yeah. They pulled out a tape measure, didn't they? And they began measuring you so that you could be fitted, so that you could attend the wedding. Did you show up early to be sized up? Of course not. Was it probably like the last day that you could actually get it done? You know why? Because nobody wants to be measured. Nobody wants to be measured. Nobody wants to spend time to go over there and get measured. As a matter of fact, some of y'all get so sad you go to the doctor and like get on the scale. You don't want to be measured. Nobody likes to be measured. But in that wedding, you got to be measured. This, I missed this. I preached this not long ago, but I missed this point. The point was, when they came, nobody had time to get measured. They had invited some people to come, and they didn't come. So they sent out other servants to invite them again, and they still wouldn't come. Then he said, hey, go out to the highways and compel them to come in. Because in their culture, this is so good. In their culture, they already had the garments ready. You know what they did? They put the wedding garment on them. I know this is a crude illustration, but it's all I got. Now, because you have this, you are qualified to go to the wedding. What are your measurements? I don't know. I really don't know where I measure up, but I know this. He gave me this. Are you following me? The world is, he's going to tell you that you'll never measure up. He'll tell you all kinds of things to keep you from getting over here to where you belong. Are you with me? He's going to tell you so many things. You're not good enough. You're not fast enough. You're not smart enough. You're not wise enough. You're not dedicated enough. He's going to give you all these things. And here's the real problem. If you're vain, you're going to wish this fit better. Fit what? Sometimes we want the robe to fit our lifestyle instead of our lifestyle be covered by the robe. But only certain parts of it. This is going to be great. Show them that shoulder. Here we go. See, we want Jesus to cover parts of us. We want him to see this part of it, and we're okay with him having access to parts of it. Yeah. Oh, you didn't know you was going to come hear this on Sunday, did you? Why am I preaching this? Because we need to get to a different dimension. And as long as he has any kind of influence over us at all, we're going to have a problem getting to where he's designed us to be. So as long as we have this open to him, what's him? Him is the system, the world system. As long, can I get plain with you? Let me get really plain with you. God, I want you to have control over my soul, but not what I watch on TV. God, I want you to have control over my destiny, but not where I go and what I say. God, I want you to have control over my justification, but not how I act to the waitress that ain't doing it quite right. God, I want you to have control over this part of me, but not this part of me. I'm here to tell you, if he don't have total control, he don't have any. Man, what are you going to do? It's tough, ain't it? Because it's Sunday now, we're in church. Cover up. Man, get that soul right. We're in church. Then here comes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And by next Sunday, we got to get him covered in righteousness again. Never go that far with it, do we? We don't ever completely, because we still know that we need this relationship. Sherry, this is where I messed up when I was young. I wanted Jesus to save me from hell because it burned. Since y'all don't know any of those old songs, you probably didn't listen to any of the preachers either, but they scared you so bad that you just didn't want to go to hell. They preached it vividly. And they had coal stoves to help them. Man, they did. They'd say, man, that pipe turns real hot. And I'm telling you, one day you're going to get to hell and it's going to burn like that stovepipe. And I'm telling you, you ain't going to be weeping and gnashing the teeth. And it's going to be hot and you don't want to go there. And I'd say, I don't want to go. You're right, I don't want to go. Y'all didn't go to the kind of church I went to. Y'all didn't know mama need no marker. Now we got rid of coal stoves. How am I going to preach to you like that? Go in the kitchen and step on that vent. And it don't even burn. How am I going to scare you now? You know what happened? When they would scare me, the fear would wear off. But what I wanted him for was to save me from being burnt physically. Let me tell you what's going to make hell, hell, not the fire. What's going to make hell, hell, is the absence of his presence there. Because David said, though I make my bed in hell, as long as you're with me, I'm going to be all right. Yeah. Amen. Is there going to be weeping? Yes. Is there going to be gnashing of teeth? Yes. I will never have to experience that. Why? Because he gave me a wedding garment. So he clothed me completely. Now, you got choices, man. You still got choices. This is free. This is absolutely free. Not for him. He paid for it. But now, he looked at the man. Come here, you be another bad guy. Not necessarily a bad guy, just a guy. I can't figure the guy out that showed up without a wedding garment. All he had to do is do the exchange. That's all he had to do. Showed up at the wedding, do the exchange, put on the garment, you're good. But you know what? Sometimes we don't want to change unless we change through reaction. What do you mean by that? I mean, sometimes we wait to change until something bad happens. What do you mean by that? Man, that step on the porch needs fixed. You know it needs fixed. You know it needs repaired. You keep putting it off until somebody comes over and they fall, and then you fix it because of a reaction to something that happened. We got to get rid of being reactive Christians and being proactive Christians to the place where we're not just waiting on something to happen. We're taking care of some things right now so it never happens. Sometimes we pray as a reaction to something that happens. We get a phone call. Our prayer life wanes until we get the phone call. We got to stop being reactive Christians and be proactive Christians and start praying before you get the phone call. There's power in prayer. He shows up. He didn't want to change. He didn't want to change. So he comes up to him and he says, and it's so great. The guy says, hey, friend, did anybody catch what he did to this guy? I don't think they were friends. He says, hey, friend, how'd you get in here without a garment on? How did you get in here without a garment on? It is illegal to get here without the garment on. Now, let me say that again. It's criminal to try to get the blessings of God without being a child of God. Amen. How'd you get in here, buddy? All you needed to do was put this on. I already had it provided for you. Why did you not get it put on? Take this, guy. Let me say it like this. Take this mug for a ride. And he gets rid of him out of that. And here's where we get tore up. How could a God that loves people so much remove them? How can somebody turn away this when he paid for it and he gave it for you? He gave it to you and he did it all for you. All you had to do, man, was put the garment on. How could God send somebody? How would God, a God of love, how can we refuse? The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know what's really scary about this story? He may have been a better citizen than him. He may have been a better guy than him. If everybody in here thinks you're going to heaven because you're a good guy, you got it all mixed up. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me? Who's going to deliver me, oh, wretched man that I am? He may have been a better citizen than you. He may have been a nicer guy than you. He may have not got upset at road work like you. He may have been more patient with his spouse than you. There could be so many things that's better about him than you on our scale. The ticket is, do you have this on or not? Because if you got this on, you're welcome in. Let me tell you in this story where you want to be. Right here. Right here. So there comes a point when we have to refuse him. We've got to refuse their advice. You know what? Sinners ask me questions sometimes. They ever ask you questions? I remember this very vividly. I was a young man, fire for the Lord, inviting people to church. Invited a friend of mine to church. He came. He was a heathen. Went to school that Monday, and he looked at me, and he said, man, wow, what a church service, dude. I said, you like it? He said, it was crazy, man, crazy. He said, they were playing like heavy metal Christian music. He's like, I've never heard it go that fast in church, man. Yeah, man, they do it. They jam. They jam. He said, man, it was rocking. He said, the pastor was entertaining. He said, but I just got one question. I said, what's that? He said, right in the middle of all that, you took off running around the church, man. I said, yeah. He said, why? He He said, why'd you do that? I said, man, honestly, my mind went back to Sister Lila, this little old lady that would wave her handkerchief and testify. Y'all remember her? She was old forever. When I first met her, she was old. 50 years later, she was the same oldness. She'd testify and she'd take out a handkerchief and she'd say, whoa, it's better felt than told. That's the only thing that could come to my mind. I said, man, you might not understand this, but it's just better felt than told. He said, all right, he didn't know. I didn't know. But you know what the problem is? When I realize where he brought me from, when I think about where I was heading, when I think about how unclothed I was, how unrighteous I was, and what he did in his invitation when he brought me, sometimes I just got to raise my hand. I don't know why I raise my hand, but I know he likes it when I do, so I raise it because he done something for me. Sometimes I feel like dancing. I can't explain it, but when I think of where I'm going in terms of where I've been, I'm glad I've been born again. Yeah. Man, he's a problem. Why do we side with him? You're such a problem. Because he makes it enticing. He makes it sound good. It isn't good. It's a division. It's pulling us away from where he's called us to be. Y'all can sit down. Give me back my robe. So easy to get it from him. They sing a song, y'all probably don't know it. But it said, I tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old coat and I put on the new. Y'all don't know the song, y'all just knew it rhymed. So you finished the verse. Best thing I ever did was to get rid of the influence and walk into that relationship. So now I'm clothed in righteousness. I could not clothe myself. All I had to do was put it on. Come on, musicians. You say, I've heard that before, preacher. Yeah. Sometimes you need to be reminded. No. We really need to be reminded. Reminded. Renewed. Regenerated. You know, regeneration means regenerated. I got a new father. Got new attributes. I got a new destiny. We do not have to play by the same rules the world plays by. This world has nothing for me. But for some reason, they didn't come. They would not come. Dustin, what's crazy about this story is you think at least two of them would have showed up. None of them. They all went their own direction. And he went out. I know what this typifies. He came into his own. And his own received him not. But to many as received him, to him gave he power to be the sons of God. It's free. It's yours. Man, it's Sunday. I feel like altar call. If you're lost, you need to come and get it. It's free. Hey, don't get me wrong. Sometimes this guy right here, he'll give you a good time. Anybody told you sin wasn't fun? I mean, some sins ain't. Some people worry, and that's a sin. I said, if I'm going to sin, I'm going to do something more fun than worry.
I can't say that. It's horrible to say. Sin's fun. The problem is it's only fun for a season. Now I can tell you hell's going to be hot. And it is. And I'm going to tell you it's going to be eternal darkness. And it is. And I can tell you that there is going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there will be. And I can tell you it's going to be a pit. A bottomless pit. But what he tells you, he says, don't you let them put any limitations on you. Don't you let them put any borders. If you don't like borders, if you don't like any of that, then you'll love hell because it's bottomless. There's no end to it. But the New Jerusalem has already been laid out. It's got walls. Walls not to keep you out, but walls to keep things out away from you. Are you with me? Your choice, your choice. As they sing this song, I want every Christian in this room to pray with me right now. God, I believe you're able to do what we commit to your hand. Thank you. Thank you for clothing me, Lord. Thank you for covering me. God, I appreciate you so much. Jesus, you gave your life so that I could have mine. This relationship, this fellowship that I have, so much greater than the fear of hell. If you need to pray, we'll pray with you. We would love to invite you into the family of God because God's got a perfect plan for your life. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart what God has in store for you. If he's calling you on this Sunday and you hear his voice, would you answer? Because you can go your own way, but he's calling you to come his. Let's sing.